that's when a true nurturing connection is formed. And that's why our circles, as we do the work, like you're saying, get smaller, because we become conscious of what is this relationship doing to me.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the shift talking. Hi, 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 and welcome back for part three of my conversation with the Holistic Dolly. Please excuse my voice. I'm on the tail end of a sickness, and it's a little raspy. We've learned 4 out of 5 of Dolly's self-love languages of self-attunement, self-compassion, self-forgiveness, and self-parenting, and today we focus on self-empowerment. I did keep a lot of this relatively unedited because, as you will hear, we did kind of start to wrap it up. We talked about where to find her and her socials and those types of things, and then I think we got a little bit out of an interview mode and more into just two providers within this space and how we discuss various topics. And I think it's helpful and important for you all to hear. So here is part three with Dolly.
So you show your inner family that today I might be numbing and distracted and doing my previous bad coping, but you know what? I know how to eventually crawl back to healing and start there again and again. So many times we have to start over and over again. Yeah.
Right. And so what is number 5?
Ooh, okay.
What's our 5th?
And I was excited because you said power. You said take your power back, right? So self-empowerment is the 5th self-love language.
Love it. What is self-empowerment? How do you describe that?
So self-empowerment is self-leadership rooted in your core values. How you take your power back is you lead yourself grounded in your values. So in the book, I have a whole list of values that you can choose from. And there are values that you probably grew up with or you cherish. And values make you who you are. Values tell you how to think, how to behave, what's okay, what's not. And as an adult, you choose your values. Right? You don't have to continue with the values that were given to you if you're not, you know, aligned with those values. You don't have to follow other people's guidelines. Your values may be parenting, gratitude, right? Another person's values may be competition, financial growth, right? People are different. Their values are different. So what you need to do is align yourself with you, get to know you to a point where you know, I value this. I value parenting. So that's one of my big values.
Right.
So you lead yourself and you make decisions and choices and based on your values. And that's how you are empowered, because you know what you're grounded in. You know where you stand and you know your choices, decisions, risk taking. Everything is based on already predefined, predetermined. You've selected those values for your life and you can change them anytime.
Yeah. Right?
Can I go back to a point that you mentioned earlier, which was so, you know, you talked about how the world describes healing and self-love, which is so limited, right?
Yeah.
Self-care, the glamour of self-care is what they give us. Put on this good makeup, put on this perfume, you know, outfit, bubble bath. That's perfect. But that's really the last step. That those steps, you've got to self-care, of course. But that glamorous self-care really is a very small piece of self-love, the whole entire pie. Self-care is a part of it, but the whole entire pie of loving yourself is caring for all parts of you, internal, external, really tending to that inner garden.
Yeah, and that's what I love. I love that you're mentioning this, because that is what we see, right? It really is that part about, like, that self-care is what we do, and why we do it is the whole other part, right? And what I'm hearing about this book entirely is that you're giving people permission to feel this way, to do this work, to view themselves in this way that they maybe haven't given themselves.
Yeah, like so many women don't love themselves or care for themselves in the past because nobody gave them permission to love themselves and care for themselves. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Take your power back so you can give yourself the permission to be there for yourself. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Miss DeVille.
One, just having you here is beyond what I expected of this, right? And it's everything that you share and everything that you do. And I always kind of bring up challenges to these things to speak from the people who tend to be more logical minded and less emotional or more resistant to the process or more skeptical of the process. And what I think you do a really beautiful job of is eloquently describing these things in a way that's also just matter of fact.
Yeah,
that this can also be logical work. This is very logical work. It's not just woo-woo crystals in the universe. It's
This is
the most logical work that we can do is to know who we are and why we are.
Yeah, this is soul work that is based in evidence and science and testimony. At the end of the book, I have so many testimonies of clients who've transformed their lives by doing the work step by step every single day. Morning, afternoon, and evening, 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Connecting with and, you know, approving of themselves, giving them permission, really accepting the addicted part of themselves, accepting the shortcomings of, I have misguided loyalty or I have all these shortcomings. You've got to love your shortcomings.
Yeah.
Also.
And also sounds like we're doing that without just excusing them either. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen them too, or the people who take this work and kind of seemingly surface level it and then use this as an opportunity to kind of just like move straight past things and or, you know, convince the world or maybe really just convince themselves that they've done the work and that they truly have like really rooted themselves in some level of healing. And then they weaponize that against other people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what happens is when you surface level do the work or you bypass, spiritual bypass is this, right? You understand it. You didn't really apply it to your soul. You didn't really practice It takes years of recovery work to get to healing, right? But when you understand it and you feel like, I got it. I kind of get it. If shame comes up, I'm going to do this. If fear comes up, I'm going to do this, right? They use that to tell others and themselves the lie that I've healed, I'm all good. There really is no healed. It's everyday healing. It's everyday recovery work, right? And then what happens is that your behavior is the true testament. Your emotional maturity or immaturity will show others what work you have done, right? And show yourself how the work is serving you. So it's okay to start with, you know, the basics or the self-care, the bubble bath, just pause and look at yourself. But eventually, if you keep suffering at the hands of your own behavior, people just, they get on their knees and pray. And because humans have to connect with something higher than themselves in order to get this process really rolling. Because if you base it in just human ego, you're going to not really find the journey or the destination.
Yeah, I hear that. And, you know, I love your approach because it's so nurturing and loving and accepting and all of this. And I take a different approach, right?
Yeah.
My approach is much, and it's still rooted in the same things.
Yeah.
My approach is similar, absolutely. And it's, I use a lot of humor and no shit and like a lot of these types of things.
Make your podcast too serious?
Oh my gosh, no. This is all serious and it's so beautiful. I think there's room for all of this, right?
Yeah.
And I'd imagine even with your clients, there's going to be a part there where I'm sure sometimes you get into like a no shit. Of course you're going to feel this way, right? Like, of course that's what it's going to be. And it's not one or the other. There's plenty of times that I'm just, I like lead with that within my sessions. And I preface all of this to say that because I specialize in anger management primarily, there are so many clients that come to me that are speaking about others. This guy cut me off in traffic. This woman did this. She did that, right? And one of the things that I say that's somewhat crass, but it means more, is that if you live your life encountering asshole after asshole, you have to ask yourself if you are in fact the asshole. And it's not here to be mean to others or even label them or anything. It's more so, how are you viewing the world? Yeah. How are you engaging within it? Are you receiving something back from other people because that's what you're giving or that's what you're expecting of them? And therefore, it's almost like we're kind of setting them up to engage in this way with us, right? Yeah. And that's kind of what I think this is it's your approach is so just warm and tender and deep, and I love it so much. And I think that there's room for, of course, all of these things to come through.
And you know, people who are consistently emotionally addicted to being angry is usually what happens is that they've grown up watching this style of emotional addiction almost to used to distract themselves from their own pain. Anger is something that many people will use to distract themselves, to numb themselves, to be focused on other and their shortcomings. It's all really a distraction to get themselves riled up. Many people will use anger to get themselves with that adrenaline rush and get going, right? But underneath that anger is so much grief, sadness, many other feelings, betrayal that you've not handled, or self-abandonment underneath that anger, right?
Yeah. What I've noticed within mental health and how it's progressed is some level of villainizing a part of us in order to get to the next phase, right? Yeah. And I don't view it like that. I view anger as a very good, beautiful, protective emotion. It's my favorite emotion of all because it is that one that's just trying to show us, hey, something's wrong here.
Hey,
this isn't working for you. Hey, like, you've abandoned yourself. They've abandoned you. Yeah. There's so much of that that one of the programs that I launched this year is called Keep Anger, because it's like, I want you to keep that. I don't want you to just never feel anger anymore. Yeah. It's just what we do with it. We don't match our anger with aggression. We don't release it in that way.
Right.
We more so just listen to the message that it's trying to give us, and then we take action from there.
Exactly. Yeah. I did a 40-minute live on my YouTube channel yesterday just on anger.
Whoa.
So that was so powerful. We did like a meditation for anger release. Then we did tapping for anger.
Whoa.
And then we talked about anger. And like you're saying, there's like a self-abandonment or betrayal from other people. There's so much depth that anger is trying to tell you. That inner teenager that carries your anger is a very valuable aspect of you. They tell you that it's a messenger. Like, I think that's what you said. And that's the right word. Anger is a messenger trying to tell you that there's emotional pain underneath here. Hello?
I know. That's why I'm screaming to get out. And that's why I think this is about so many of our emotions, right? Is that we equate anger with aggression. And so then anger is the bad guy. And so if you feel anger, you're not supposed to. And if you feel anger, there's something wrong with you, because that's like anger in your heart, and that's not good. We need to separate and segment these things more accurately, so that people who quote unquote have an anger problem, no, they don't. They just have a self-empowerment, a lack of agency, a lack of willingness, or maybe even permission to say, I deserve better than this. And this is what I want, and this is what I need. Right. And so what I love about what you've done within this book is that you've segmented, right? Like within my shift framework, that, you know, I've shared with you, is the S is the self, right? And then there's a healing, and then we do something about it, and then we build, and then we transform. What I love about what you've done is that it's a deep dive into the self and the healing part in order to get, of course, through everything that you're doing. Your book encompasses the entire shift ideology, that the same framework that's within there. And it sounds like you're informing them about it. You're teaching them, you're guiding them, and also telling them, hey, here's what might be helpful. And hey, when that's helpful, here's what to do about it. And when that's not helpful, here's what to do about it.
Exactly.
And so it sounds like an encompassing, very consolidated thing. And so with your book, did you develop this to be used in conjunction with a provider like yourself? Or is this meant for more of a self-guided journey?
No, this book can be used by providers or by individuals. Mm. And it's written in such an easy, that's what people say, it's so easy to read. And it
love
doesn't put in all this jargon. It has all the science in it, but very simplified. All the, like when I say self-attunement to your behavior, I list like, I think 30 something behavioral patterns that I see in people who have been through trauma. And I say, okay, this happens. And this is an example of it. This is why it happens. And this is how you overcome it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you self-sabotaging thoughts come up, what to do with it. So there's a whole process of how to. So individuals can use it, or coaches, mental health professionals can use it. It'll be mm-hmm. easy. It's good. I give it to my patients a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, read this. This will help you clarify, what does toxic guilt look like? Mm-hmm. What does shame feel like? What happens in a shame spiral? How do I interrupt that shame spiral? How do I love that addicted part of me? You know, in today's world, almost everybody is addicted to different things.
Yeah.
Because we all need that escape. So how do you love that addicted part of you? And then how do you replace your addiction with, you know, when you remove an addiction, you got to replace that hole with something else. So you replace, what are you going to replace it with? Play, learning, spirituality, God, church work, writing. For me, writing was so transformational. And I'd been writing because I used to sit with my grandfather while he was sleeping, etc. So I would sit with him, do my homework, and just be reading and writing if he needed water, medication, whatever, right? So writing has been a really big part of my journey overall, but also like breaking things down into simpler terms so we can not only allow ourselves to not be afraid and just dive in and just be like, I can do this. So the book will, it really is about self-love journey. Like to, when you read this, you will just madly fall in love with yourself. You're going to be like, oh, I love my shit.
That's so good. And that's what I think it is. It's like just seeing it for what it is. Mm. And, you know, I'm formally trained in therapy. I opted out of the traditional therapeutic model. I'm not licensed. I went into the coaching realm. And one of the main reasons I did is because of what you're doing here, in that any therapy that I've conducted as a, on the provider side or been within on the patient side, the client side, there is this, of course, deep emphasis into exploring and digging deep into these things without much warning of what this looks like. There's not really much education within it. This part about, I don't even know how to conceptualize that. If I did, I would probably have done this work much sooner. I don't know what words to use. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what patterns come through here. I wasn't trained. They don't teach us this in school, which I think is a travesty.
Yeah,
there's all of these things. And then you go into this room and you just talk. But I'm not being educated. I'm not told, here's a list of potential values you could have.
Don't give you how to, because they don't have the how to's. Now we're talking more and more about the spiritual pain, the emotional pain, and human suffering is really spiritual pain, and how to love yourself, to bring yourself out of that pain and suffering. But yeah, I was trained in Western model, and all I also learned was, when a psychiatric patient comes in crisis, give them a shot of this, a medication of that, let them go to bed, and then we'll talk to them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Versus now, when I walk into a crisis intervention, I talk to that inner child and that inner teenager, and they calm down in 30 seconds, because all your inner child, your inner family wants is for someone to understand their pain and see that they're suffering.
Yeah.
And then give them hope, give them strength, give them experience that you can move past this. But a lot of Western medications really just numb you, legal way of numbing you.
Yeah.
Which really doesn't heal you. You know, it will help you pass through a difficult time. And medications are great for the most difficult times. But let me tell you something. Getting off of a pharmaceutical is a decade-long process with bad withdrawals. And I'm trained and still working in the field of psychiatry, mental health, treating patients. But I tell them this is very powerful, synthetic, you know, medication that's going in, and it will change you. It will change your brain chemistry. So people just, when they're on medication, they dissociate from their pain so they can function. That's what these medications do. But it is really not. People spend their entire lives on these medications, dissociated from their pain so they can function and achieve in the world. But really, they're still suffering. They're still carrying that suffering.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, that's where it's a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, right? Like it stops the bleeding. And what, that's where I think so many of us, when we're suffering, it's like, I just don't want the bleeding to stop. I don't really care to dig in and get that bullet out. I just, I need it to just stop for a bit. But then it stops for so long that then it's like, well, I'm not going to open this back up.
Right.
Like, are you kidding? Like, why would I ever want to do that? And so there is just so much beauty to doing both and allowing for the work that we're doing here to allow for that medication to do its job even better until, of course, eventually, if that's your choice, then you can wean off. And we're just now kind of finally getting good at mental health, like finally getting better at mental health, that not everyone carries a diagnosis, that not everyone needs this like formal treatment plan. A lot of us just weren't taught coping skills. We weren't taught emotion management. We weren't taught any of this literacy.
The industry, pharmaceutical industry for depression medication and anxiety medication is billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so many people take the medication and still live with depression and anxiety. Why? Because it's spiritual pain. It's depression is internalized spiritual pain that is not fixed by a pharmaceutical so many times.
Yeah.
Right. But they numb you enough so you can kind of carry on and, you know, do your work. And it has its own place for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But really, truly, the answers lie in going deep into your soul and sitting with that pain, understanding it enough so you can release it eventually.
And what would you share with people that say, I don't know how to open this up without having it bleed into every part of my life, and I don't have time for this, or I don't know how to actually do this and still be able to move forward through my day and wake up and go to work and do my normal thing?
Right. So start with such small steps. Start with small, small steps so you give yourself experience, strength, and hope. Small steps, consistent steps, as best as you can. And then I think connection, community has a big part in it as well, because like you were saying, a lot of our suffering comes from lack of connection.
Yeah.
So get some basics in place to start the journey is what I would tell that person.
I mean, it really is so true that my social kind of sphere has gotten so small over these last few years that I've really done this work, you know, and there really is that part that every once in a while, I kind of ask myself, like, oh, did I isolate? Did I distance? Was I judgmental? Like, what part of that caused this distance? And then so much of it tends to just be that I want alignment. I want other people who will hold a mirror to me, not hand me a bottle. You know, I want there to be this part where they show me my ugly. They show me my blind spots. They hold that space with me as I do it, as I work through it, and allow for that to be okay and demand that for me.
And they don't
and who
judge
want it demanded
you.
Of exactly. them. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. They don't judge you, but they expect you to be the higher version of you. They hope they're there for the higher version of you. And they still love you through your shortcomings.
Absolutely.
That you don't have to hide parts of you, that you are human in your whole entire form. Those are the connections that nourish and nurture us. When you don't have to hide, suppress, deny, dissociate, that's when a true nurturing connection is formed. And that's why our circles, as we do the work, like you're saying, get smaller, because we become conscious of what is this relationship doing to me, you know? And then eventually, as you do the five self-love languages, the last chapter is interdependence in relationships is a self-love language. You're not there to depend or be a codependent, right? But you're there to interdependent and nurture each other, reciprocity. So that's what I talk about in that chapter. And then finally, there's a bonus, everybody.
Yeah. Gimme, gimme.
Baby, gratitude. Gratitude is the love language of the universe. Universes, God's love language. The language of nature, abundance, is gratitude. Even if you're suffering, there's a part of you that's still thriving. You be thankful for that.
Yeah.
And when you're thankful, watch the abundance just pour all over you.
Mm. Yeah, and I think there's a happiness lab at Stanford, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's what their research is showing us so far, is that gratitude is the number one key to happiness.
Gratitude
is incredible.
But our ego prevents us from tapping into that, because our ego wants us to keep suffering the human suffering. Our ego wants us to thrive in the human realm. Our ego wants us to compete. They only think about what's present now. How can I keep you safe? How can I keep you in the circle, belonging? It doesn't matter what you have to sacrifice. We are here to look good, right? Every ego has a mission, maybe to look good, to be a certain way. So if you operate from that superficial, egotistical stand, you will not be able to tap into gratitude, because gratitude requires humility. That I am thankful that you have given me so much. Even though the ego will tell you, you got nothing. Look at that person. He's got everything. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, gratitude is the love language of the universe.
Yeah. I love that.
It's all in this baby.
I love that. I cannot wait to read this.
I'm excited.
I don't know that everything happens for a reason. I don't know about these things, right? Like, I'm still working on my higher power, my God, these types of things, right? So there tends to be a bit of resistance that I have around these things. What I do recognize is that whether it's coincidence purely or whether it was meant to be, I'm so deeply grateful that you and I were connected, and that we connected so, so simply. And I needed this, as I'm sure our listeners did too. And if there's anything I've had continuously reinforced within my existence, it's that certain things approach and we either can take them or we leave them. And certain opportunities came through, and I just started getting back on Threads. My creative director was telling me that, like, yeah, you got to get on here, because I tend to isolate and I tend to be more introverted. And I think it was the second day that I was on Threads is when you and I got connected. And I'm deeply grateful for it. And whatever caused this, whatever it was, we came here and we showed up together. And I'm so grateful to have met you. And I'm so excited to see what comes
next.
You're
a very brilliant podcaster. The questions you asked and the direction you led the conversation into. Very, very intelligent and very, very to the point. Like, a lot of people are not able to get to the crux of it. But it's all right. That's okay. Everyone has a different direction, you know? So I'm also very grateful that I was able to speak to your audience and to you and really have this beautiful, nourishing conversation.
Same. So is next for you? Where can they find you if they want to learn more?
Yeah. So get my book. It's going to transform your life. It's going to change so much. And it will show you how to do the work, basically, morning, afternoon, evening, all parts of you. You're just going to be in harmony. And I'm on YouTube, The Holistic Dolly, and I'm on IG, the.holistic.dolly. And then my website, of course, is www.theholisticdolly.com. My name is
Beautiful.
Dolly. I'm holistic. For sure.
Yeah. And are you taking on one-on-one clients? Is that what you're doing right now?
No, I don't do one-on-one clients anymore, but I do
group
coaching. But really, the work lies in reading the book, taking the initiative, creating that willingness, and then just read a page a day. And do the coaching. This takes about 6 months. To really deeply do the work. So if a practitioner is doing this with their clients, there's a lot of journal prompts, reflection questions, exercises that they can do, that they can give as homework, because that's very, very important. Traditional therapy really fails us in that regard, that you just go there, you sip the tea, And then you go home. Nothing changes. You feel better because you've had a friend listen to you for an hour. But really, that's about it.
Yeah. Like, and what do I do with that now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing because I was never someone who wanted to do group coaching, either to facilitate it or to be a part of it. And now the more work that I'm doing, the more I'm recognizing how limiting the one-to-ones are. That I think a lot of us are resistant to this, myself included. And now I'm pivoting into group coaching because there really is so much about, when we're talking about the suffering of our existence being, well, a lack of gratitude and also a lack of connection, I am perpetuating that by preventing them from connecting with other people, by not actively demanding that they connect with other people as well. And so this whole, like, going into this coaching model, I think, is something that makes so much sense. And even with you doing this as a group, it's just, it's powerful.
One of the potent effects of group coaching is that when someone heals, their first healthy relationships, safe relationships in a safe container, are formed in that coaching group. They understand you're suffering, I'm suffering, and people share as much as they can, and then they do the work on their own, the email and all that. So there's a personal aspect to it, but the group aspect of it is where they practice boundaries, internal. I want to interrupt and I'm not going to crosstalk. And then they learn how to be in a relationship container with others. And it's, for some of them, it's the first time they've had boundaried relationships.
Yeah, beautifully said. It's so very true. Because as we do this work, the people that we're going to get the most resistance from are the people closest to our lives, are the people that are in our immediate network. And that's where we get so much of this of like, oh, you've changed. You think you're better than everyone. It's like this kind of thing. And instead it's, no, I'm just recognizing that I'm enough and I'm here. And I changed because that's the point. Yeah, right, like that was the whole point of all of this. My body's changing, my body's aging, and all of these things. Why shouldn't my heart, my mind, my soul as well?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. As you do the work, you realize how to say it, tell others kindly, how to tell them off kindly too.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I think it is that typically we use the anger, the aggression rather, to do that. And now we get to use the anger to, you know, drive
healthily
this within
us. Yes. Healthily express, honey, you crossed a little boundary here. Do not do it again because this is what I'm going to have to do. Right? You know, something changes and shifts in people when they realize their self-worth and they realize they've got their own back.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a big transformation clicks in for my clients when they realize they've got their own back and they understand themselves and they're going to stand up for themselves. They can take care of themselves. Like, that self-worth, when it kicks in, boundaries come through so quick. You don't have to think of a script then, really. You don't. The boundary comes up, well, I'm not aligned with that.
Yeah,
you
it doesn't
know,
work
it
for me.
It comes from within. If you teach yourself, if you coach yourself backwards, you know, if you learn the script first and set the boundaries, which is great. But true boundary from within in any aspect, like, quickly comes when you've done the work. When you worked with, for example, your fawn trauma response, right? You've learned, how do I fawn? When do I fawn? Yeah, me too. When do I fawn? How do I fawn? In front of whom do I fawn? And then do the work to release their power over you. So when another authority or somebody tries to overwhelm or overpower you, you don't have to think. Your inner child, your inner family speaks. Your higher self will speak and show up as their mature self and say, yo, that don't work for me. I don't accept this.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's so true. I offer scripts, so many scripts to my clients, because usually they're just like, what do I say? Like,
which
just
is,
tell me what.
Which has great place.
And there's room for that too. And the reason why I offer these is just to get familiar with the concept of it, just getting comfortable with it. That if I'm still trying to figure out how I feel in real time, I'm not going to know what to say in real time, right? And so there really is that, to the point where there have been times that I've kind of practiced this whole script in my head of like, this is what I'm going to say the next time they do this. And really, it's like one little smidgen of the five sentences that I've been practicing, because it's really, at the end of the day, it's just, that doesn't work for me. I'm mm-hmm. not comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
This mm-hmm. isn't something that I'm willing to tolerate, right? It becomes these mm-hmm. quick one-liners versus yeah. this whole, you know, TED yeah. talk.
Your truth. Your truth. Your truth comes through when you are aligned with it in every single moment. When you're living in your truth and you're grounded in your truth, the truth comes from within.
Yeah.
But I mean, it takes a while to get there. So we do need the scripts and we need to know what to say and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of this is really just picking up where it makes the most sense, right? Mm-hmm. Given mm-hmm. there is kind of this framework that tells us to go in this direction and in this kind of like modality, right? This model. And it's just like grief. We're not going to start right at the beginning. We're going to kind of oscillate. It's going to come through waves. We're going to kind of pick up and start wherever this works.
Yeah.
And it's sounds like you've done a really beautiful job with this book. I'm so very excited to not only read it, but to gift it to those around
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I may say so, it's transformed this coaching program. And now the book has transformed hundreds of lives, you know? And I feel so grateful. Like, how? Me? Like, I feel so thankful, so grateful for this. Like, because I've changed. Like, I'm a completely new person and I've created myself. Nobody can take credit for what I do, what I did, what I'm doing. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's what my hope, wish, and prayer is for every childhood trauma survivor, especially women, that they take that power away from trauma.
Yes.
And they speak their truth before it's too late. They love themselves and they express themselves before it's too late.
Yeah, I hear that. And what I'm taking from that is that it affected me, but it doesn't define me.
Ooh, ooh.
And that's yes. where it's just all of this, right? Like we tend to be defined by our wounds. We tend to self-identify as our wounds within this victimhood, within these types of things. And because I was victimized, right? No one's taking that away. It just becomes, well, what am I going to do about it? If I continue living in this way, then they're offending me over and over and over again. And mm-hmm. no, like it stops here. Like enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, this is so wonderful. I'm just so grateful for you. I want to like screen hug you. This is just such a beautiful experience, such a beautiful chat with you. I hope you come back and we get to redo this again as I'm doing the work that you're providing
for us.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're going to ask me so many harder questions.
I hope
read
so.
You're going to be like, well, why did you say this here?
I hope so, right? I think at the end of the day, I still have this kind of like internal skeptic about this work. Every so often I am like, maybe it is just while we're here. Maybe there isn't something more, you know, and usually that's just the part of me that's just like, fuck, this is hard. This is so much work. And what if it is? Mm-hmm. And, you know, these types of things that come through. And so I'm constantly kind of arguing with myself and challenging myself and the people around me in order to kind of remedy the active resistance that mm-hmm. not only I have, but anyone listening to this kind of podcast likely has as well, and probably to a much greater degree. And so I don't think that my job here is to just have things flow and have it kind of be that social media sphere of this toxic positivity. It's all clear and cute and do this. It's no, we're supposed to push back. We're supposed to ask these questions. We're supposed to mm-hmm. ask the questions that they might be screaming into their car. Like, why aren't mm-hmm. you asking this? In the same way that I do in a lot of these conversations that I listen to.
Yeah.
Where it just feels like they just facilitated the same shit. And I want to hear the opposite. I want to hear the pushback. I want to hear both sides, all sides, so I can come to my own realization, my own conclusion to this.
Because that's the truth that you will buy and you will stick with. Yeah. When you come to the conclusion on your own, it's something that will become a part of you versus something that was given to you. And okay, well, now you're healed, so go be happy. Yeah. It's not going to stick. Maybe it'll stick for 30 minutes while you're just butterflies and rainbows. But long-term work is messy and it is hard. But, you know, the happy takeaway from this is that you're not alone in your suffering. So when resistance comes up, you've got to show compassion and you've got to inform that resistance. It's okay. I will not do my healing work today, but I'm not alone in this suffering, right? So the work speaks to you when you work it. When you do the work will tell you and guide you. Your angels, your God, your ancestors. There's a chapter on how to self-attune to your ancestors. So there's a lot of support available to us, not only from humans around us, but from the spiritual realm that we tap into when we become open and willing. And the process, the work will bring you to that willingness. You know, when it's time, it's time.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think for those of us who tend to be more, quote unquote, pragmatic, what I like to kind of give visuals of these things in the same way that we're saying that you may not do it every day, but you're still going to need to. You're never done. It's, yeah, I ate today and I'm full right now, but I'm still going to be hungry tomorrow.
Your soul needs food. You have this love hunger, the soul hunger that is, nobody's fed your soul, the love, the nourishment that it needs. And that's why you're hurting, because you fed your body. You probably feed your mind with good things. Time to feed your soul in 2025.
I hope so. And that's what I think it is that, like, we expect other people to feed us. Mm-hmm. And that's the part about that connectedness. There really is so much there. And it's just so powerful. I'm
so, like, happy we talked.
Yeah, I am too. I am having so much of this.
Last day of the year. What a beautiful
way. I know. Really is just like full chest. And it's a beautiful message, not only for the last day of the year, but also for the first and for the 198th, any one of them. You know, it's never too late for these things. And I do think that with the whole New Year's resolution and all of this, it's not about it anything starting on the first. It's just the first day that you do it is the first in this book. Find it. And can they find it on Amazon? Is it everywhere? Anywhere in particular?
Yeah, the book is on Amazon and also Kindle format is available.
Love that.
So you can read on Kindle. You can buy the book. Write a review, please.
Yes.
And
yeah. Well, this is beautiful. I cannot wait to stay more in touch and see everywhere that you take this. I'm proud of you. And I didn't know you before 2 hours ago. And I'm so grateful that you joined me. I'm so grateful that you came just so open and willing and not knowing kind of what this vibe was going to be like, how this was going to go. And you just, you know, you were just incredible.
I think your energy is very pure, authentic, and open and inviting. And thank you for taking me on this journey with you.
Yes, my absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming with me.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That wraps up our conversation with the Holistic Dolly. This is exactly why I love this work. I love, as you heard, we were able to like verbally praise each other and get into this level of emotional intimacy so quickly. And I'm perpetually grateful for these experiences. Until next time, remember, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I will see you in episode 20.